And hopefully the Pirates give you another source of not frustration, but entertainment after what they did last night coming out of the Storms, which was to, Homer Simpson, when there was an episode about the spinoff of The Natural, he had his Wonder
Homer
Boy
bat.
Yes, that was struck by a tree, was struck by lightning, and then he used that. Maybe that happened in the movie The Natural too.
It did.
Okay.
Yeah, it wasn't called Wonder Boy. Didn't you just say that?
Yes, Wonder Boy.
The Natural is a pretty dark movie.
No,
the book is way darker than the movie.
The book is. It's not to get into a literary debate here to start, but yes, he took that bat and it turned him into a home run hitter. That did not happen with the Pirates last night. They were shut out for a MLB worst fifth time. Only the Rockies and White Sox have a worse record than the Pirates. The Pirates' record through 30 games in 2025 is worse than it was in 2021 and 2022 at the beginning of this rebuilding phase. In both seasons, they lost over 100 games. Mm-hmm. And they're worse through 30 games than they were back in those seasons when it was more acceptable or palatable that the team was losing a lot because they looked at it as a good thing because you could accumulate great young players by sinking to the bottom of Major League Baseball. They put out a lineup last night that did not have a single player in their lineup that was drafted by Ben Cherington. It's unacceptable. It's embarrassing. I want to know what you guys think is the most embarrassing aspect of this team right now. 412-928-9370. I want to open up the phones for people too, to call in and talk about it. Maybe they want to vent because they've got things going on with everything that happened yesterday and they want to maybe get some catharsis by bitching about the Pirates. I think Tommy Pham is the most embarrassing part of the team right now.
That's veteran leader Tommy Pham to you.
That he plays every day in year six of a rebuild when that was your big free agent signing offensively for $4 million. He's hitting .170. He hasn't hit a home run.
He's gotten a suspension handed to him.
He gives the franchise yet another black eye because of the way he acted in L.A. Guy bumps him when he's trying to field the ball in the corner. I get it. Fans should not make contact with players. Sometimes it's hard to tell for these guys if it's fair or foul. Either way, don't touch a player. Whatever. It was accidental. I don't think it was malicious. And the game picks back up. He tells the guy to go play with himself. And then that wasn't enough. He's telling the guy to come on the field and fight him. I mean, he's what, 10 years or 12 years older than George Pickens? George does these things and it's like, his apologists will say it's immaturity. This guy's almost 40. Yeah. And he's doing these things.
He was brought in explicitly to be a veteran leader among other things.
And he sucks. And to go back to...
Who could have possibly predicted that he would suck other than virtually
I'm happy you
everyone
brought that
not
up
named Ben Cherington?
Because, you get what you pay for. 90% of the time, that's true. They brought in a one-year outfielder, paid him very little money, and they're stupidly, even 30 games of the season, continuing to play this guy when he's got no future with an organization. You're not winning this year now. Okay, stop running this guy out there. That, to me, is embarrassing with a capital E. You've got the Reds in your own division. This is not a Terry Francona point. They brought in Austin Hayes and signed him. Not Key Bryan's brother. H-A-Y-S. Look him up. Austin Hayes, outfielder. Played for Philly, played for Baltimore. Signed with Cincinnati. Same exact deal. Right-handed, right-handed hitter. Left fielder, one-year contract, $5 million. He's hitting .365. So even in the Pirates' price range, there were guys out there to make their team better. And this nitwit GM couldn't find the right guy. And then this bozo manager who evil-eyed my ass on Monday, they keep playing this dude. Gorski hits a home run in his first game. Hey, thanks for the memory, kid. Pick splinters out of your ass for the next few games because we're going to play this jamoke. I mean, it's ridiculous. And maybe you guys have something worse, but that takes the cake for me. Embarrassing at 11-19 is running Tommy Pham's ass out there every day. I'll get off my soapbox. Go ahead.
I mean, it's fun when you get on the soapbox. You're on a roll. It's the old don't stop him. Was it over when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor? He's on a roll. Just let him.
And I got to hear Derek Shelton say, our problem is that we don't have Spencer Horwitz and Nick Gonzalez. Hey, Derek, newsflash, buddy. You're not talking about Parker and Stargell here.
For the record, Alex.
Sound like the cavalry's coming here.
Alex Verdugo's hitting like 333. He signed for $1.5 million before opening day for Atlanta.
Good point. Another good
Another
one.
Another guy.
412-928-9370. Go ahead, Chris.
So I took your, the topic in a different direction. I had a feeling you were going to isolate on one person you really were pissed off at. And I mean, I think Pham is a joke. I think the signing was a joke.
He should have been caught when he did that in L.A. We've already had enough.
When he started rolling the dice?
We've already had enough PRLs. You're going to act like that? Get the heck off my baseball team right now.
It's especially bad when you hear that he was brought in, among other things, if he wasn't going to be a great player on the field, a veteran leader in the clubhouse. So is the veteran leader teaching all the younger players,
yeah,
hey, it's actually
a great
cool.
message.
It's actually cool to act like a complete jackass while you're also playing like hot garbage? Probably not. You know what my biggest embarrassment of this 11-19 start is, which, as you said, is two games worse than both 21 and 22 when they lost 100 games? That we're 6 years into the Ben Cherington era, and this is the roster you're putting out there. You said no drafted players from Ben Cherington's regime. That in and of itself, Pony, and I know that might be a cop-out to you, we're 6 years in. When did the Cubs start their latest tank to try to get good again? It was like 4 years ago, maybe 5 years ago. But now the Cubs appear to be good. Would you agree with that? Cubs appear
yes,
like they're
they
going
lead the
to
league in run score.
Going to win the division probably, right?
So the Cubs, I think the Pirates game against them yesterday was the first game all year they played against a team under 500, okay, and they're already in first place.
The
seven
Cubs,
games up on the Pirates.
The Cubs bottomed out, you would say. They lost the NL wildcard series in the bizarro COVID year. Then they went 71-91. Then they went 74-88. Two pretty bad years, you'd argue, right? Like no argument from you there? Then a pair of 83-win seasons. I'm aware that the finances are different, and now they're 18-12, and they are off and running on like almost a 100-win pace, like a 90-plus win pace through 30 games. The embarrassment here is that it's 6 years in to Ben Cherington's tenure, and this is where the Pirates are. And I do think the financial realities of the sport contribute to some degree. But most of my annoyance here, my anger, my frustration is reserved for Ben Cherington, who's done an atrocious job, who just failed upward into this job, who has done nothing but fail while giving very smug answers, I might add, about any time he's pressed on a player or players. He either falls back on believing in his process, or you just get the... And I'm not saying he telegraphs this and says it in so many words. He doesn't. But when I hear him answer questions about his team that he assembled, that's 11-19, I am overwhelmed with the sensation that in Ben Cherington's mind, the little voice that he knows he can't have say things into the microphone wants to say, you people out there just don't get it, what we're building here. It's awful, man. He should have been fired in any other rational situation. He would have been fired. I think he could have been fired here, and somebody convinced Bob Nutting not to do it.
So
that's the embarrassing part. We're 6 years in, Tony.
Among the Cubs' everyday players, only two of them are guys. Two. They have two free agent signings. They have Seiji Suzuki, and they have... And they have Dansby Swanson at shortstop. Everybody else, they've either drafted and developed or traded for.
Their best player by WAR so far, he's a two-win player already. He is setting them on fire, is a 2020 pick of the Cubs, 19th overall, that draft, Pete Crow Armstrong. He's the next guy that's just going to infuriate you in this division.
That's actually not right. He was traded from the
Mets
for
Javi
Baez.
I was looking at the Mets. No, I was looking at the Mets.
They found a prospect in another organization.
Right.
They dumped Javi Baez and got their best player.
Yeah.
Ben Cherington dumped Josh Bell
properly.
And Starling Marte and these guys
they
and got crap back. Got steaming piles of elephant feces that are wafting over from the zoo and hitting us in the face right now.
Very
That's
evocative.
What he got back.
Pete Crow Armstrong turned 23 like just before the season started. He's only 23. O'Neill Cruz is 26. He's a traded player that they got, but he's a first-round pick that's developed. Once they traded for him, Pony, he started to develop quickly, I might add. They've just got a team that looks like what you're supposed to look like 3 years removed from starting or 4 years removed from starting kind of a soft rebuild. Do they have more resources they can throw at it financially? Obviously, yes. But to be as bad as the Pirates are 6 years into somebody's tenure as a GM when
yep.
they were supposed to be tasked with rebuilding it requires way more than just a lack of resources. It requires the GM to just be absolutely atrocious at his job, which Ben Cherington is. compounded by the fact that his on-field manager is just as bad. That's what's embarrassing, Donnie. We are 6 years into this. They are worse off than when they started. And in all of that time, they drafted a guy who might be the best pitcher of a 30-year span in Major League Baseball.
Donnie, you do Bucco Talk. You're out in center field with your buddies crushing icy light mangoes for a lot of games. What do you think is the most embarrassing aspect of the first 30 games of the Pirates season?
Well, it's going to be a lot fewer games in 2025, given the direction it's going. It's awful. This, I think, is even worse than what we anticipated. Not that we expected this team, or at least some of us. I mean, even I was a little bit away from the guys that had this team over 500, but there were a few of them that are in this building or, you know, members of this town, and, you know, the optimism that was, you know, now they have Skeens for a full year, we'll get over 500. This is even worse than what I think we even expected, the three of us.
I think I said they were going to win 74 games.
And I don't think they're reaching that. I don't think they're reaching 78, like I said.
No, FanDuel has their projected win total right now at 67 wins.
Yeah. They'll be lucky
67!
They'll be lucky not to lose 100 games again this year.
And I think we're going to get to about a month from now, and I know that Dan brought this up a couple of weeks ago. I think that's going to be the tipping point, and I think it's going to be the breaking point for at least Derek Shelton, where he said, yeah, they're going to get roughly 60 games in. I think the 60th game of the year is June 1st.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the final game of a series in San Diego, and they're going to end up losing that game and coming back home with a record of like 19-41, something just horrific.
If they're 19-41 and Shelton is only fired at that point, then somebody will have been literally asleep at the
but
switch.
Take it easy well, on us, says Derek Shelton.
No,
we,
I know.
We don't have Nick Gonzalez in our lineup. We don't have Gonzo.
We don't
He's
Spencer
a career
Horwitz.
250 hitter with an OPS under 700.
I think that's the part that makes me chuckle the most. Like, he speaks of guys like Spencer Horwitz and Nick Gonzalez as if they're going to get like
what is it?
Barry Bonds and Mark McGwire.
What is it? I know. The Bash Brothers come. What does it say that O'Neill Cruz has finally had the light go on and looks like he's turning into an elite offensive player, not in the NL or the NL Central, the
right.
whole league.
Good yeah. point.
Paul Skeens is exactly who he thought he was. To Ben Cherington's slight credit, Andrew Heaney looks like one of the best pickups of the offseason in starting pitching. And absent those three, there's nothing.
There's
almost.
A little bit of, a little nothing. Bit, with O'Neill Cruz and Paul Skeens of the Angels with Ohtani and
yes,
Trout.
Yes, the old bit. Mike You've Trout got, did something no one's ever seen before. The Angels lost to the Tigers 8-3.
You've got one pitcher who's an absolute superstar. You've got a hitter that's looking like one in March and April.
Finally,
and your team sucks.
Yep.
You're non-competitive. You've been shut out 5 times. And I got to watch this jackass, Tommy Pham, play every day. And they've got to tell us that one guy that's 27 who was a second-round pick and is hit at every level of the minor leagues is only allowed to play once a week because Huntington drafted him and this guy didn't. It's a disgrace. It really is. And I'm sorry I'm worked up today. 412-928-9370.
Last thing. I have to say this. I hate it when I'm right when I'm negative because I'd much rather eat crap for being negative and be proven wrong, Pony. I will say it again. I thought having Paul Skeens could be the worst thing that would happen to them because it would underscore all the other ways if he was really good and they were really bad that they have been deficient. And look where we are.